Going. Okay, we got everybody here. All right, welcome to our village board meeting. It's Monday, October 27th at almost 7 o'clock. And I ask the clerk to please take the roll call. Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Cascatello.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
President Ajusi.
I'm here. Also, if I Trustee Brennan is attending virtually due to illness, so if we can get a motion to permit Trustee Brennan to participate tonight in a second.
I move to permit Trustee Brennan to participate virtually in tonight's meeting due to personal illness.
Second? Okay, very good.
Trustee Bachner, are you here? Or Trustee Benner, Brennan, sorry.
She's here, but you want to take the vote.
Take the roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, welcome, Katie. All
Here.
right, so if I can ask everyone to please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do what we got back there? All right. We've got two people for tree ordinances. So if you don't mind, if you could, we'll get there really soon. And then I'll ask you to come up and talk when we get to that item on the if that's okay. Hopefully it won't take us very long. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to elected official comments and announcements. So I think we started with Erica last time. So Bob.
Good evening. Attended the West Suburban Municipal Conference dinner on Friday night with a couple of Cliff guests, Rosa and Lisa and Luke and Jessica were there. It was a nice evening, nice presentation, their annual meeting. So well attended. I think it's Thursday evening. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. The Washington Boulevard corridor information sessions will
That's
take place on Thursday.
next Thursday,
Next
November 6th.
Thursday. Okay. If you have any interest in what's going on Washington Boulevard, it'd be a good time to show up. There was a postcard that went out last week. And other than that, the Economic Development Commission is meeting on Wednesday evening. And other than that, that's all I have for tonight. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Megan.
And those that meeting will take place in Washington Square Park. Yes. Thank you, Bob, for saying that. Halloween's Friday. Trick-or-treating hours are 3 to 7. Watch out for kids as it's will be dark. Consider also offering snacks and non-perishables in addition to candy or donating to the food banks like Beyond Hunger. 13% of the people in our country rely on SNAP, which won't be coming in November, including 2 million people in Illinois. I know that lots of neighbors are considering these options. If it's within your means, please consider.
Yeah, thank you. Great message. Katie?
Thanks. I just have a comment I'd like to make about the repeated ICE presence in River Forest and our neighboring communities. ICE continues to show up unannounced and without identifying itself in our community. Since our last village board meeting, ICE has harassed workers in River Forest during school hours near several of our schools. The reports I've read differ as to whether they drew their guns and whether they abducted any individuals. They were targeting landscape workers in our town. This is the lived reality of people who show up every day to do their jobs with integrity, craftsmanship, and care. We stand in solidarity with those most directly impacted by this climate of fear and instability. Our colleagues, friends, and neighbors should never have to navigate intimidation and uncertainty simply for showing up to work and contributing to our shared world. In River Forest, we're guided by values of dignity, humanity, and community. When ICE comes to our town to harass our employees, our clients, our contractors, and our community, it stands in direct opposition to those values. We oppose this strategy and the abuse of power that it represents. It is destructive, detrimental, and expensive for all Americans. Thanks.
Yep. Nice message. Thank you, Katie. Rosa?
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Thank you. Rez?
I just want to echo wishing everyone a happy and safe Halloween, and encourage everyone to at least enjoy one day out of the year with whatever pleasure you. I mean, I always see families going out and enjoying themselves, and it's great to see. I hope that doesn't get discouraged this year. So,
thank you, Russ. Lisa.
I just want to let everybody know or remind everybody that there is a blood drive on Thursday, November 13th, right here at Village Hall from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you are on the, is it Vitalant list, you know that they need blood. I get many an email. So if you can donate, it's painless and really does make a difference. And secondly, we are still working to identify all of the service lines with lead. This is a mandate, and I really do hope that all residents will take the time to complete the survey. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. Erica?
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Thank you, Trustee Cascatallo, for mentioning Halloween. I would just like to add to that. Lots of different kinds of folks and kids come to our doors for trick-or-treating. And even if somebody looks like they might be older or doesn't fit a certain profile that you think of when you think of trick-or-treaters, I would urge you to just be open-minded and to receive that person and, you know, follow the trick-or-treating tradition. We don't know what's happening with that person, you know, what's going on exactly. So would just say that, Trustee Brennan, thank you for your comments on ICE, and their continued harassment and, abduction of folks, in our community. While it feels like there is little that we can do as community members, there are in fact ways that you can help and support. And I would urge each person who wants to and who is able to look for ways to be able to.
Great. All right. Thank you, Erica. I have nothing to add. I echo many of the sentiments that are around this table. So, but Halloween is probably one of the greatest celebrations for River Forest. If you get a chance and drive around through River Forest, many of the families do enjoy decorating their homes. And I think it's a joyous, this should be a joyous moment for our community. So I hope everyone goes out and trick-or-treats, and we treat everyone equally and nice throughout the evening. Stay safe, though. That's the number one thing. Okay, so I will move on to the consent agenda. Small, thankfully. So if I can get a motion to approve items A through C, please.
I move to approve consent agenda items A through C.
Second.
Thank you. Any comments or questions regarding those items? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to read out loud each item and then take the vote.
Item A, Village Board of Trustee Minutes, Meeting Minutes, October 13th, 2025. B, Administration Department Report. C, Purchase Approval, Public Works Sewer Truck Repair, Widgets Truck Center, Inc., $21,445.68. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to the recommendations of boards and commissions and committees. This is the proposed text amendment for our landscape requirements, tree ordinance, I guess, right? So we'll go ahead and motion it second, and then I'll ask the two residents to come up and citizens to come up and speak on behalf of the tree ordinance. Can I get a motion and a second?
Motion to approve an ordinance updating Chapter 24 Landscape Requirements of Section 10 Zoning of the Village of River Forest Village Codes.
Second.
Okay, very good. Don, or is it Dan? Yeah. Okay, Dan, do you mind coming to the podium and just state your name?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dan McGee, and I live at a corner lot off Washington Boulevard. So thank you for reminding me of the upcoming meetings. For background and context, I have four trees of over 20-inch diameter in my yard, 34-inch diameter oak. That's diameter, not circumference. I measured it today. 40-inch diameter catalpa, 26-inch maple, and a 24-inch maple. This does not include the six parkway trees I have, the largest of which is 26 inches in diameter. So suppose I'm a tree expert, I guess.
A lot of trees.
I'd like to share some questions and thoughts with you about the proposed change to the tree preservation ordinance. First off, I had to read and attempt to understand the proposed changes for well over 15 minutes. I found them quite confusing, and words and sentence construction are very important, as we all know. Regarding the newly inserted text in 10.24.5A1, it was extremely difficult to understand. The text added regarding single-family homes is inserted between two sentences that seemingly should be kept together. The first sentence references zoning variation or subdivision, and the second sentence references in cases where only a zoning variation is required. The inserted text involving single-family residential properties does not reference zoning variations at all. Instead, it only references written approval from the zoning administrator. The text is very hard to understand, and though I cannot claim to have read the entire village code cover to cover, the context was missing for me here. My first question to the village board, as well as the earlier boards, including the zoning board and I believe Sustainability Commission, that has reviewed and passed these proposed changes, is does this revised ordinance apply to single family residential homes at all times or only when seeking a zoning variation, as currently applies to all other types of properties, commercial, multifamily, et cetera. Next, I will note that this change specifically protects oak and elm trees, except for a Siberian elm tree. My second question thus is, has consideration been given that this proposed change would deter people from planting these specific trees, since they now have additional restrictions that other tree species would not when it comes time to potentially remove them. As a property owner with significant canopy coverage from the 10 trees I previously mentioned, this ordinance also feels excessively harsh if I wish to remove one of these trees that I believe to be proposed by the covered changes. My scenario is far different than from what I believe this change is intended to prevent, someone clearing their entire lot of all of the trees. Finally, I will note the cover letter for these proposed changes, which, while not law, states that the zoning board voted 5-0 in favor of the proposed setback variation, when in fact this is, I believe, not a setback variation under consideration. Thank you for your time and listening.
Yep. Good questions. I'm going to ask our staff to address while you're here.
Sure.
So that's a good way to begin the discussion. And is that other last one just an error? We have one. Okay. I got to start reading it.
So I was trying to write down these questions, and I hope I get them. So the first issue raised, the preceding sentence is in reference to properties that are multifamily, residential, commercial, institutional, governmental properties.
Seth, where is that at? I just want to make sure.
This is 24-5, 10-24-5, paragraph A, tree removal.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Page 27 of the packet.
Yep.
So the preceding sentence is regarding the process for the multifamily, the existing tree preservation. So the next sentence was inserted to apply to single family properties to note that that is a separate requirement, or that the requirements are different for single family properties versus the existing requirements. The second question the gentleman raised regarding the zoning review process, that is the existing process for multifamily or institutional properties. So that would remain the process for single family properties as well. And then the third question, I believe, was if this would discourage the planting of these trees. That honestly was not considered in the discussions at the Sustainability Commission level. They were really focused on identifying fully mature trees and the species that should strongly be preserved and not cut down, which are oaks and then healthy elms, particularly American elms. Obviously, there's various other provisions in the code. If it's a weakened diseased tree, it can be removed. So an elm infected with Dutch elm, there would be no requirements placed on it. But I believe that was, did I miss any questions? Did I?
Yeah. Yep. If you just come up to the point, because we are recording. Thank you.
I think you tried to answer it, but I realized I'm going to ask it sooner. If I today was to decide on my property to cut down the 34-inch diameter oak tree, and I am performing no construction whatsoever, I'm not going to the zoning board for approval of anything, would I be allowed to do that after this proposed ordinance passes?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So can you, where in, so we can be real clear, in this ordinance, is it? Because if Dan's
confused. So our existing tree preservation ordinance is within the zoning code. So this would be part of this.
So you go back to the zoning code.
Yeah, this would be part of the zoning review process, just as it is for construction at a park district property or at Dominican or Concordia. But it's simply much more narrow for single family residential properties, limited to fully mature oaks and elm trees that are healthy. There are the conditions for approval or conditions for removal in the next paragraph. And then this sentence specifically exempts single family properties from any replacement requirements if they meet the conditions for removal.
And if they don't meet the conditions for removal?
Then they are required to plant one well-suited tree. So I believe the text identifies, so this is two pages down, so page 29, I believe, of the packet, the exchange rate for single family properties. So any tree designated as well-suited for residential planting sites based on the Morton Arboretum and Northern Illinois tree species list. So this is a pretty extensive list. They wouldn't necessarily need to plant another oak or elm. They could plant something like a magnolia tree, which is very good in the local ecosystem, local environment, as the replacement tree. So it's a simple one-to-one tree replacement.
I'm sorry, and it's a one-to-one tree replacement, or it's by the...
It is by tree, not by diameter. The existing ones that apply to multifamily and institutional properties, that is by diameter. Understanding that might be a fairly significant impact on a single family property. The sustainability discussed this. We talked to Brian Skozik, our superintendent of operations. The feedback we got speaking with him and discussing at the Sustainability Commission level was to plant one tree for every one removed. And that is only the removal of healthy trees of these two species.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to be 100% clear. If somebody has a property and they just want to cut down their tree on their existing property, they can do so.
Correct.
However, they would have to.
However, they would have to replace it. And what is the process for that?
They would only have to replace it if it went through this zoning process, if it, just like with institutional properties where they, you know, a large institutional property in the village can cut down trees on their property if they wish to. It is only replaced if it is going through this, the zoning review process.
But it just seems a little confusing, Seth. I'm confused. So, yep. I mean, so back to Dan. He just wants to take a tree down.
He can cut it down.
Doesn't have to go through zoning.
Correct.
Correct.
Right. If somebody was building out an addition to their home.
Right.
And then.
You got to take a tree down.
Then they need village approval. Then that would trigger like the replacement requirement if it's cutting down a healthy tree of these parameters.
Well, that's good. So basically, someone can cut their tree down and then request for an addition afterwards. And that would be okay.
Correct. No, we talked through that scenario. And part of the context here is that.
Help Dan over here.
Right.
No, that is a good point. Lawyers, so, that's good. So that is the existing process for larger institutional properties as it is. When this first came up at the Sustainability Commission level after the UIC plans, we looked at other communities. Other communities have much more stringent requirements, tree cutting permits, several of the inch for inch replacement requirements. I think one, the least restrictive I found was planting 4 trees for every 1 removed. And that was the least restrictive for what other communities in the Chicagoland region have on the books. So the Sustainability Commission was hesitant to go that far and wanted to see how the existing process worked for institutional properties and then propose a narrow expansion of that applying to single family properties.
You were going to say something about review.
Pretty much exactly what Seth was going to say, that the context was really that the Sustainability Commission wanted to kind of an incremental change. We know that this a tree cutting permit would be a big jump in town to restrict that or have a tree cutting permit for if a resident wanted to remove it and we had a fee or had them replace an inch to inch that might not be realistic or practical. So this is just kind of an incremental, modest step that the Sustainability Commission recommended.
Thank you.
Zoning ordinance. So it reminded me of the last question that Dan had or comment regarding the mistake on, where is that at?
It's on the cover memo. It's not within the ordinance. But
oh, okay. Just on the cover.
Thanks for pointing out.
Okay. Okay. So we'll just fix it. Okay. No worries. All right. Is that help? Is it? I mean,
that is
clear?
My questions. I still think the language is perhaps a little bit jumbled because of like I couldn't tell the answers to my questions. So a new resident would also have to say
what. So there's a better way to.
I can't hear Dan's answer.
Oh, Dan, yeah, could you? No, it was an answer. It was just a comment, and he just said he believed that the language is still confusing. So if a new resident would come and try to read it, he felt it might still confuse residents. And I had, which is understandable, and I just asked the administration, is there something we could do to unclear and make it clearer? We can do it.
I think in terms of our documents for building permit and going through that process, that's a lot of that is much more user-friendly than our village code. Village codes aren't the most easy things to read generally. And in this case, it was inserting and kind of building on existing language from the zoning code for the plan development process. So that's why it is kind of fit in like that rather than us doing a standalone section.
We can
consider, you know, pamphlet, filter kind of thing for our, we can work with the Sustainability Commission, kind of design an explainer.
I think understanding when you don't need permission to cut a tree would be the most helpful piece of information.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point, Megan. Yep.
And then we had actually discussed this with Jessica in the building department. And this is really going to fall to our building department, our building official and our building and zoning inspector in their review process to identify when this removal requirement would apply, similar to the current process it goes through for institutional properties, just in a much more narrow sense.
I like that pamphlet idea.
Another way that you could make this ordinance a little bit more clear would be to add another whereas clause that explains that while this falls within the zoning code, explains the purpose of the amendment and the limitations and narrowness of it. That's often done in whereas clauses.
Yeah, that's going to clear it up. What's your thoughts?
That certainly could be done. I mean, it won't solve the whereas clauses don't appear in the code when they're codified. They're part of the ordinance when it's passed and then it's sent to the codifier. Those whereas clauses won't appear. And so if someone just opens the code, they would have the same issue. But if someone read the ordinance itself, it would explain what it's trying to do. You know, it is a challenge because this is an amendment to the zoning code. And so it's narrow, and you need to be – it's part of when you're seeking zoning relief, and cutting a tree down isn't zoning relief. It's a new building or changing things about your structures and so forth. So it's limited to that, but a reader opening it maybe wouldn't make that connection. But a pamphlet would probably be the best. But we could certainly add a whereas clause as well. I just wanted to point out it wouldn't appear in the code. One thing's codified, the code book.
Lance brings up a good point. It's that you're bringing, hey, I just want to cut out a tree, and you would never go through our zoning, you know, so you would never read that code, you know. But somebody who would want to expand their, like you said, had to go through zoning for some reason, would probably see that in the zoning code. So it's probably in its right spot, is I guess where I'm landing. And maybe a pamphlet just to say, here's what you can and cannot do, and might be a good thing to do, just to add.
Also, in relation to the language, there are several places within this ordinance where it says his or her. And I know that a couple of years back, I think it was when Greg Smith was working with us, we came up with non-gendered language to be able to put into our ordinances. I'm wondering if that can be fixed here.
Sure.
We can, but we really don't have guidance on that in general, right?
I thought that was what Greg did a while back. Did he provide guidance for that?
I could be wrong.
I know that our employee handbook has gender neutral language and a couple of the other ordinances that we have. We can certainly...
Yeah. It's not a big deal. But I think in general, I think we have guidance. That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Could be down.
We got one other citizen comment. So, okay. Okay. All right. Thanks, Ken. All right. So that ends the comments from our citizens or residents. Any other comments from the trustees other than what we said? We've kind of captured it. I think we'll make a few changes and with using gender neutral language, I guess. And you want to add anything regarding pamphlet in there, or we don't want to complicate
that? That would be more an administrative thing. Okay. It wouldn't be part of the ordinance. Fair enough. That would be direction from the board to staff.
Yeah, gotcha. All right. So with that change, I guess who moved to second? I think that would be...
So are we going to add in gender
neutral language? I mean, we can, but I don't think it solves the issue. I mean, it's just could be more clarity, which is fine. What do we have that? So Katie, maybe you can send it off to us and then include the whereas clause that you thought might help.
Oh, ordinance? I haven't drafted anything. I was just suggesting that often you include sort of a general purpose statement in whereas clauses that don't necessarily fit in the rest of a document or code. And it could help clarify the purpose in this case. But I hadn't drafted anything.
Okay. Well, I think we could, like you said, I mean, it doesn't hurt
So we'll put in a whereas just to
we
say.
We could, that, if I can try to be helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have to bring it back.
Good.
Because I think, you know, the gender neutral language is non-substantive and that can just be done upon the current. So I would say 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth whereas clause could be modified. I'm going to give it a try. Whereas the village has determined that amending the village's zoning code to provide for amended regulations relative to tree preservation when property owners are seeking zoning approval pertaining to their property
only
that may affect existing trees. Is in the best interests of the village and its residents. And then that would.
I think that helps.
Yeah.
That would limit.
I think you're right.
What we're doing.
Is zoning then all encompassing? Is there anything else that a resident would do besides rezone their property?
Well, anything that would require. Typically, this is geared towards someone that wants to do an addition.
Right. No.
And they meet the zoning requirements, setbacks. And sometimes, you know, they can design it in a way so they don't need a setback variation in order, but they have to cut down this big oak tree.
Zoning is all encompassing.
So yeah. The way this is drafted, any zoning relief. And then one of the interesting things you get into with tree preservation is where somebody wants a variance and then they want to say, well, the hardship is I want to save this big oak tree. And so you should let me move my house over. And that's an interesting discussion, especially when you have the older view of what's hardship. And we have one of those views on our ZBA. So we've had some of this discussion before, not with a tree preservation ordinance in place. This would actually provide a better argument to call it hardship.
Yeah.
But anyway, so those discussions. But I think that's what was envisioned here. You want zoning approval, and you make your plans so you don't need any special approval, but you got to take down this gorgeous old tree, and we want to discourage that.
Right.
You know.
Right. All right. So I think that we've got the whereas, and then we've got the okay. So if you motioned it, Erica, and then seconded Lisa.
I motioned.
Okay.
And I will take a stab. So. Am I
if you just say it? Included all,
yeah, you could.
You don't have to take it.
What?
Just say here. Included what Lanson changes. Just say included the changes.
But I have to restate it.
You don't have to. No.
Just say okay. I agree with the changes.
I agree with the changes.
All right, good. And Erica's.
People are unclear about what that is. You can speak up. But
yeah, no, I mean you don't have to go through it.
But it's all been noted.
All right, so let's take a vote with the changes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got it.
Included.
That's included.
Okay, this is a vote for the proposed text amendments as with the included changes for the update to section 10-24 regarding tree preservation ordinance. Mm-hmm. Trustee Cascatello?
Yes, with the understanding that we'll provide that pamphlet for additional information.
Yep, the pamphlet.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
And Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Okay. So I think we got there. Okay, so that passed. That concludes our business. I need a motion and a second to move into executive session, please.
I move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C6. To discuss the setting of a price for the sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Thank you. So we're